Wonderful. So this session here I will endeavour to take about 20 minutes on this, talking about the Victory Program. I really would encourage you to purchase one of these for $10. This is your inheritance. And as I said, the work's already done for you, that you can already start to think, okay, I'm not feeling great about myself. Okay, there's a chapter here on you are God's best. There's a never again list in here which says, never again am I going to confess sickness because by his stripes I'm healed. Never again I'm going to confess I can't because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Never again am I going to confess lack because God supplies all my needs. Never again am I going to confess bondage because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And so again, it's just challenging, you know, some of these kind of mindsets that are, you know, have been in from when we were not born again and have traveled with us, some people after they're born again. And so really encourage you to have a look at that. So I'm going to speak on this and just give some instruction on that Victory Program. Praise God. You know, it's interesting how we have all these programs that you see advertised on the television or on the radio or whatever, and they promise all kinds of stuff, you know, like the banks have a program to get out of debt, and you've got the gyms that are actually giving you a program that if you join them and buy all the stuff that you're actually going to lose weight and be fit. And there's all kinds of insurance programs that are telling you we're going to cover you for this and cover you for that. But I found out you can buy all these programs and buy all the books and all the machines, but unless you do it, unless you actually do the program, it's not going to work. And that's really what it is with God, that he's given us a program. And we can hear it and we can buy the books and the CDs, but if we're not going to actually take a hold of it and apply it, it's actually not going to work. And so this is really about looking at how, in fact there's a bit of feed here, about how we can get this to work and what we're going to do with our mind as we're starting to declare the word, because the battle is in the soul. And so it's just interesting how we have a look here. We look at Jesus. He came to the earth to save us, but he didn't only come to save us, he came to show us how to live. He showed us how to live. He was the first son in glory. And now there's many sons in glory. And so whatever he did, we can do. We're heirs of God, and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so he came to show us what the first Adam missed it. The last Adam came and showed us exactly how we're to live. So when was he ever defeated? Never. When was he ever sick? Never. When did he ever come under the circumstances? Never. In fact, they tried to kill him, and he walked through the midst of them. And he says, no man's taking my life. He says, when I'm ready, I'm going to lay it down. And when I'm ready, I'm going to take it back up again. And that resonates in my spirit. That resonates in me. That's my big brother. That's his language. And so I read his language in the Gospels, and that becomes our language. He showed us how to live. And so no sickness is taking us out, girls. No sickness is taking us out. Our time is not right. With long life, he satisfies us and shows us his salvation. The 70 years God promised in the old covenant, and if you want more, you can have more. And so if you want more, you can have more. Absolutely. And so I'm not ready to go, and nothing else is going to take me out until I'm ready to check out of here. What is that? That's sonship. And where do we learn that? From our Savior. The Son, the only Son of God at that time, and now there's many sons in glory. Isn't that wonderful? He showed us how to live, and so we look, as we sort of said, spoke to things, spoke to storms, and absolutely believe that his word has power. The word of a king has power. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but we're his kings and we're his priests. And he's told us, we decree things, and they are established. And so, you know, this is the program that God's talking about. And so if we have a look here, and I explained at the very beginning that we are a three-part person. We are a spirit. We have a soul, which is our mind. That's our will and our emotions. And we live in this body. This is our tent. And when this earthly tent packs up, we have to leave the planet. We leave this planet after this tent. This is our earthly house, as Paul said. This is my earthly house. And when this tabernacle goes, he said, I have a tabernacle in heaven. And so we are to rule our life from our spirit. And our spirit eats spiritual food. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And so my spirit needs to eat spiritual food. And when my spirit is strong and I'm taking this word and I'm putting it into my spirit then takes preeminence and starts to rule my soul, my mind, my will and my emotions. And then my body will just come into line. The body really doesn't have a voice except, that hurts. And so it's the soul area that has a voice. And so what we're doing is, how do I eat the word? I eat the word by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. I eat the word as see. The eye gates into my spirit are my eyes. When I see the word is going in through my eyes into my spirit. When I hear the word goes into my ears, into my spirit. When I speak the word, there's two forms of faith. There's the confession unto faith. And then there's the confession of faith. What's the difference? The confession unto faith means I'm not really believing it yet, but I'm confessing by his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. This is an example. I'm not really believing it yet, but I'm just saying it because God tells me to confess. So thank you, Father. By your stripes I'm healed. By your stripes I'm healed. By your stripes I'm healed. What am I doing? I'm confessing myself into faith, into believing that scripture. And so every time I speak, by your stripes I'm healed, it's going into my ears, I'm declaring it, and it's going into my spirit, and there becomes a building up on that area of truth in my spirit. My mind at the same time is being renewed. The Bible says, do not no longer be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How am I transformed? By renewing your mind. Now that word transformed is metamorpho. And it's the same word we find, metamorphosis, where you change from a caterpillar, a caterpillar is changed from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And so God is saying, when you put the word in, the transformation that's going to happen is you're going to come from limitation on the ground here till you start flying. Higher ways. My thoughts aren't your thoughts, God says. My ways aren't your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God says, let the wicked man forsake his thoughts. And so we need to forsake the old thoughts. How do I do that? I start to read the word. I listen to CDs, speaking faith. I start declaring that. It's going into my spirit. My spirit is being built up. My mind is being renewed. And when you are building your spirit up, when this mind is renewed, it's like the hinge of a door. Whichever way the soul goes, if it swings the way of the flesh, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so your soul, your mind, is the deciding factor. Whichever way it swings is the way you're going to go. Because you see, the spirit, if it's not built up, it's two against one. It's the body and the flesh and the soul against the spirit. And if the spirit is not fed spiritual food, it's born again, it's spirit, it's perfect, it's holy, it's unblameable, unreprovable. In your spirit, you can't sin. A Christian cannot be demon-possessed. Because to be demon-possessed, you will be possessed in your spirit, your soul, and your body. A Christian can be oppressed in their soul or have oppression in their body. A spirit of infirmity or depression or whatever. But in your spirit, you can't be possessed. Because you've already got the Holy Ghost on the inside. You're the tabernacle of God. God dwells in your spirit. So you're perfect here. And so what we're doing is we're taking this word and we're eating the word spiritually. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. My words are spirit and they're life. I am the bread of life, Jesus said. He who partakes of me is going to have life. And so we're feeding our spirit. Stephen and I, when we came into this teaching, we had the continuous audio tapes. And so we decided as young 20-year-olds, okay, my mind is sleeping, my body is sleeping, my spirit doesn't sleep. The Lord neither sleeps nor slumbers. He's a spirit. The Lord, the Bible says that God is spirit. And so he doesn't sleep nor slumber, so my spirit doesn't sleep. And so what we thought of as kids, getting this, we were so desperate for deliverance and to walk in victory. At nighttime, we'd go to bed and we'd have faith teaching, speaking to us while we were sleeping. It's radical, but You know, that's what you do when you're 20. You get ideas. And we had the big reel-to-reels, if anybody's old enough to remember those ones. Because at the beginning in the 80s, they didn't have continuous audio tape players. And so we bought this big machine like this, and it went like that. And so it played enough so we could actually hear the word and hear this kind of teaching all the time. And why were we doing that? Because if it was quiet, our mind would go back to carnal thinking, to limited thinking, to fears and insecurities. And so we had the word going, which forced our mind to have to engage and listen. And as it was engaging and listening to victory, to our inheritance, to healing, to freedom, our mind was being transformed. Our mind was being transformed, and it was going from glory to glory. And it just took a bit of time, but God promises that. And so this is what the victory program is. It says here in Romans 12, and it's on the victory program, it says, don't be conformed any longer to this world. You're now a new creation. You're now my son. I've seated you in heavenly places. You're my daughter. I've set you free. But you're going to carry on living in defeat unless this mind is renewed. It needs to swing the way of the Spirit. It needs to be trained, retrained. And so, as we said, talking about transformed, how are we transformed? Renewing the mind. And so I would encourage you, watch what you're lending your ears to. Because it's going in. Fear comes by hearing. Fear. If you're hearing fearful negativity, you're actually feeding on negativity. And so you're guarding your heart with all diligence, God says, because out of your heart flows the issues of life. And so God says in Proverbs, you guard your heart. Why? Because out of it is going to flow life or death. And so we don't just lend our ear to anything as believers. We're actually putting ourselves on track on a program, and we're disciplining our mind and not letting our mind just wander. I remember years ago, my mind would just wander anywhere and everywhere. It was totally undisciplined. I'd be driving and all of a sudden... And I'd be somewhere in my thoughts and go, how did I get there? I'm the Spirit. And we just let our mind travel off anywhere it wants to. Some people do. And then they get into a depressed thing, and then soap operas. I mean, I used to watch Days of Our Lives. I used to wag school to watch Days of Our Lives. When I was working in Australia, I would take time off and be sick so I could watch Days of Our Lives. My mind was a mess because of all of the emotional stuff I'd been feeding on daily. I would wag school. I was more out of school than I was in school because I was addicted to this program as a young girl. And so my mind was just filled with all kinds of junk. And God had to retrain that mind. And so he started to show, okay, you put the word in. And then the Bible says, it says, take every thought captive. Every thought captive. And make it obedient to the word. And so you and I are the king. We're kings. You're a king, if I can talk with you like that. That you're a king, and so you're in charge of your soul. You're in charge of what you feel, what you think, and what you imagine. And you're watching to see what's going on here. We're not just allowing this to be like children that are disobedient and allowed to run riot. This soul can actually run riot. It can throw tantrums. It can pout. It wants its own way. And if you tell it to be quiet, it can pout. I mean, you think of some of the personality and behaviors that come out of the soul at times. I'm not going to talk now. I mean, it really is, if we put it in a kind of a picture, it's like a 2.5-year-old that's throwing tantrums and temper tantrums. It can't get its own way, and so it'll pout. It'll try to scream first. If it can't get its own way, it'll pout. There's all kinds of emotions that can happen within a soul. And so you and I, we're the king. We are redeemed. We're free, we are perfect. We are now taking the word and starting to discipline this mind. No, the emotions aren't just allowed to do what they want. We're not allowed to play mind games. We're not allowed to manipulate. This is all works of the flesh. And so what do? We're taking this word and we start to put this word in. How do we start? How do we do that? Well, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, that I have love in my spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control. Self-control means I control myself. I control myself. And so that's what's in my spirit. And so I start to confess that this is who I am in Jesus Christ. And then when my mind, I catch my mind having that wrong thought, I say no. We say no to that thought. Every thought that says captive, taking every thought captive. Taking every thought captive and making it obedient to the word. I remember this depression that I had, sort of like with all of this stuff going on. And I remember these thoughts used to come, and it used to just like a snake. It just used to, like this. And it would just come on, and I wouldn't be on my guard. And all of a sudden, I'd allow that thought to come. And this was with bulimia. And you'd allow that thought, and it would come. And if you let it tip over, you'd spiral down, be down in here. And then I'd have to climb myself back out of there. Confess, Father God, forgive me. Thank you, Lord God, that I'm brand new creation. Thank you, Lord, that I've been delivered. And pull myself back out and get back in an even keel. My mind and my soul was at peace again. Now, as I started to put these scriptures in, those times when I would fall down became less and less. Instead of falling down every day and wanting to leave, the amount of times I ran away from Stephen was just incredible. And he just let me go. He wasn't going to play those games. I'd drive off, in my car, and then just go. I'm not playing those games with you. And again, he's Austrian, just would not play these emotional games. Would not play, you want to go? Go. And I was, I'm divorcing you. And he would go, I don't believe in divorce. And so trying all of these emotional games on him, he just wouldn't come to the party. And so I'd drive off, and I'm going to drive back. I'm sorry, please would you forgive me? And so I'd have to come back. The amount of times that we would do that, and he would say, are you going to behave yourself now? He would not give my flesh any leeway. He helped me to absolutely use self-control. Self-control. He would not allow me to just have pity parties and carry on like that, otherwise I'd still be running. And so, how can you say you don't believe in divorce? What? It's not an option. And that was his thing. Divorce is not an option. Therefore, get on with each other. Work it out. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And so I had to work out and get rid of some of the flesh and some of the antics and some of the childish behavior by using this word. And Joshua 1:8 said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. The book, the word, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate in it. When? Day and night. Day and night. It says that you may observe to do all that is written therein. Then God says, for then you will make your way prosperous. People are waiting for God to make their way prosperous, but God puts the responsibility on us. We're sons of God, made in God's image. And as we put ourselves under this word and meditate on it day and night, and so we took that literally, get these CDs on, get my thinking straightened out, meditating on it day and night, then I will make my way prosperous, then I'm going to have good success. This is not the person down the road. If I can't get on with that person, it's not their fault. I need to deal with what's going on inside my soul and not allow those thoughts, casting down those imaginations. And so bit by bit, one by one, some of these strongholds just break through. I take scriptures and I start to declare that. And in fact, it's interesting, that word in Joshua 1:8 that talks about you shall meditate on it day and night. That word meditation means to speak. It means to mutter, to murmur, to roar, to ponder and imagine. That's in your victory program. And so when I'm meditating, I'm just speaking, thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God, the love of God is shed abroad on my heart by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, the love of God is shed abroad. And so you're meditating on that and you're muttering that. When you're driving the car, you're muttering that to yourself. You're speaking that out. What is that? That's meditation. Eastern meditation says that you're to empty yourself of yourself and say nothing. That is actually not the meditation of the Word of God. The Word of God says you've got to say something. You must say something. You've got to not just imagine, but you're saying something and you're meditating and you're muttering. And sometimes when those thoughts and those fiery darts come from the enemy, you're going to need to roar that out. The Son has made me free. I'm free indeed. And so I remember driving the kids home from school, and I remember there was this thought and it was just lingering. And I'd been standing against this. I can't remember what stronghold it was now, but all I know was I know it was coming in, and I caught it before it actually came right in and pulled me right down to the down the bottom, and just until I was kind of laid out. And I remember catching it, and I was driving that blue car that we were talking about. I was driving that, and I remember then I said, "No, devil!" The kids are in the back. What's going on? What's going on? No, devil, I said, you've taken me down there too many times. I'm not going down there again. I'm not going down there. You're not taking me down there. I've had a guts full, basically. I'm not going down there. I'm free. The Son has set me free. And I said that, and I felt this quietness. It wasn't a fight. Every other time it was like a, you know, wrestling. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness. And there's a wrestling that happens. And if you want your freedom enough that belongs to you, you're going to have to be prepared to wrestle, because Satan's not just going to give up. He's going to watch you to see if you believe the word you say. He's going to watch you like he watched Jesus. And he knows you better than you know yourself. He's had 6,000 years at taking down human beings. We've been on the earth 20, 30, 40, 60 years. And so he's a master that he knows. But when we put this word inside us, this word's been there before him. This word created him. And so we put that word inside of us and start to declare it. And you build your house before the storm. It's not as easy to build your house in the middle of a storm. You try. And so that's what Jesus said. He says that the man that builds his house on the rock and the man that builds his house on the sand, the one that builds his house on the sand, when the storm comes, he's wiped out. But you build your house on the rock with the word of God, and when that storm comes, that house will stand. And so that's why having CDs, becoming addicted to the word and living that word and knowing you're a spirit being and you're feeding on the word, feeding on the word. I'm feeding on that word daily. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Satan came to Jesus and said, "Hey, turn this stone into bread." He says, "No, I'm not doing that." He says, "I'm living by the word." Man does not live by bread alone, but by the word. The word is what's sustaining me. And so he's speaking that word, and that will sustain us. And so when the storm does come, you stand. And so I remember that day of just speaking the word and saying no, and it was quiet. And I knew that I'd taken that territory and I'd put a stake in the ground. Done. Like the children of Israel took Jericho, took Ai, and God gave them the battle plan to take the promised land. God didn't go into that land and take it for them. They had to go in and fight and take it themselves. And so God's promised us a promised land. It's ours. It's filled with milk and honey. But he's going to give us a strategy on which strongholds to take first. And every one of you has got different areas that you're working on. And you say, "God, which one we're going for?" And he'll say, "Take that one down first. Then this one. Then this one. Then that one." And you just take them down one by one until you've possessed the whole thing. Absolutely. And so a lot of that battle and a lot of that fight is within the imagination and the mind. It's that unseen. The unseen thoughts, like it says here, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God to pulling down strongholds, casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It goes on to say, bring every thought captive, every thought, and make it obedient to the word. I was just talking to a lady here, and she was talking about her mind, and I just corrected her a little bit. And this is where, as girlfriends and as husbands and wives, that we give ourselves permission to correct each other. And she was talking about her mind and saying, "Thank you, Lord God, that you will give me something about you. You will give me a sound mind." And I said, "No, God's already given you a sound mind. You're confessing, 'I have a sound mind.' When these thoughts are coming to you, that hey, whatever it is." Anger, jealousy, manipulation. "Father, I thank you that I have a sound mind. I have a sound mind." Now, your mind may not be manifesting soundness, but you're not going to agree with what's going on here. The Bible says you walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by the word and by not by our senses. And so this is why this word is so powerful. Powerful, powerful. We're putting it in. We're relearning. Relearning, relearning how to think, how to speak. And I tell you what, this is the most amazing thing. You bring them down one by one. One by one, and you just see, my goodness me, that was a challenge a year ago. I've got the victory. I've put a stake in the ground. Now God's territory. Whatever that is, praise the Lord. Let's have a look here. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with that temptation makes a way of escape. And so the way of escape is the word. The way of escape is the word. When Satan comes, and say, like for instance, he comes to your body and puts a symptom of sickness in your body. He can't make you sick. What he does is he actually fires a dart. The Bible talks about the fiery darts of the wicked one. Fiery darts of the wicked one. And so he fires a dart onto your body for sickness, if we're using that as an illustration there. And all of a sudden, he puts that into your mind, you know, a fiery dart, and it's a headache. And your imagination starts to think, I've got a headache. And then the imagination, he's looking to see, he's put that fiery dart there of a headache, and you're thinking, okay, he's watching now to see what you look like. How are you responding? And if your response is, thank you, Lord, by your stripes I'm healed, he walks off. Amen. Walks off. But if you're just learning this, and that fiery dart goes in, and you're feeling a pain, and you're going, oh, and you say, oh, goodness me, I've got a headache. First of all, it could be, he could say, oh, brain tumor. No, that's not a brain tumor. Oh, no, it's a migraine. No, not a migraine. Oh, it's just a headache. You know, it's just you just bought into a headache. And so he's watching with the imagination, so he'll fire a dart into your body, and then he'll make suggestions. What is this? And he's waiting to see what you're going to respond. Are you going to say, by his stripes, I'm healed? They go, He'll go find somebody easier. And so basically the dark comes in, and then the imaginations come. And he's looking to see what you're going to speak and what you're going to agree with. And he knows whether we know the word, because he knows the word and trembles. And so if he comes in, you know, like without, we'll even say, for instance, like your finances. And in fact, what's another one we could use? Somebody yell something out to me. Well, even like, say, with our children, you know, that your children aren't serving the Lord. You're either going to agree with that. You're seeing what you're seeing, like I said, with Joshua and Shekinah, our two oldest. And we were kind of just in this place of no man's land, because we were not engaging ourselves. We were just kind of saying, thank you, Father. You know, as for us in our house, we're serving the Lord. But we were not absolutely in the battle until we absolutely said no. And as soon as we said no, man, things changed. And so it's looking at, like, for instance, I'm trying to think, even like, say, fear is coming upon, you know, coming in there in your life, and fear just starts to come, hey, look, we haven't got money. Oh, look, fear, like Job said, that which you greatly feared has come upon you. So if you're starting to fear cancer, fear heart, fear sugar diabetes, Satan's putting imaginations in there, and he's watching to see what you're going to respond to that. Those thoughts are not your thoughts. Those thoughts are not your thoughts. They are thoughts from the enemy. They're wicked thoughts. They're thoughts coming from him. And he wants to know what you're doing with them. And so you're the spirit, and you're saying, no, by his stripes I'm healed. With long life he satisfies me and shows me his salvation. So those negative thoughts of sickness and disease and all kinds of stuff, as soon as that thought comes in, you capture that thought and say, by his stripes I'm healed. You need to answer that thought with the words. And it's interesting, when you speak the word, you cannot think something different and speak something different at the same time. Your thoughts have to stop and listen to what your mouth's saying. So if you want to stop those horrible imaginations in your mind, fear, sickness, death, poverty, start speaking the word, and your mind has got to stop, and it's got to actually listen to what you're saying. It has to listen to what you're saying. And so fear of cancer, fear of dying early, Those fears come in and you answer them with the word of God. Praise the Lord. And then God says, don't be weary in doing well, because in due season you're going to faint not. And so the more you're putting in the word, the more you're putting in the word, God says, do not be weary in doing well, because in due season you are going to reap if you faint not. And so the whole idea is to get these scriptures of whatever area, of whatever territory you're taking for God, that God wants you to take down. You're just putting that word in, putting that word in, sowing that word. You sow the word by speaking it. You water the word by speaking it. You harvest it by speaking the word. And you just keep on doing that. And then all of a sudden, it says that the plowman overcomes the reaper. All of a sudden, you're reaping harvest after harvest after harvest because you've been putting that word in. And then you don't have a time where there's drought or where there's no harvest, because you've been putting the word in, and the word will overtake your life. So, with that, is there any just questions? We'll just, you know, close off this session here. Did we have any questions along those lines? Or anything that you'd like to maybe sort of say, hey, look, when we're doing this, what do we do here? Was there any questions that were written down? Yes?
I want to ask, how many times do you want us to, you know, read the book, whichever area the person is going through?
Yes.
How many times do you want us to be at the table?
Okay.
You want to read 3 times a day? You said,
yes.
We read it and say 3 times.
Yes.
So do you want us to do it? Yeah. How do you do it?
Okay, so how that book started as well is, I mean, I used a lot of those scriptures myself. And we had a lot of deliverance happening on our Sunday night services, people coming from different churches, and we were casting out devils, and there was manifestations happening. And we started to get frustrated because the same people were coming back with the same devils, and we were casting the same things out, the manifestations, and it was all glorious. I mean, everyone was wow, 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 because the people are, you know, manifesting, and it was kind of sensational, but people weren't getting the victory. And so what we did, we put this together, and we said, look, we're not going to pray for any, we're not casting any devils out of you until you've done this program. And so we still said, we want you to put the word in for 12 weeks. That was the original scripture, the original print had you putting this in for 3 months, 12 weeks, 3 times a day. And if the people are serious enough to want to be free, the doctor says 3 times a day. And so you would put that word in, and again, twice a day would be great too. Once a day would be great, but I mean, depending on how free and how fast you actually want to renew the mind. And so we sort of said, you put that in 3 times a day. And then after about 3 weeks, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, the Holy Spirit is going to just, he's going to give you 2 or 3 out of that chapter that are your favorites. Every time you read them, you're going to, oh, yes. And we taught and do teach that's like David's 5 stones. He took out some stones. There was a whole river there of stones, but he picked up 5 to take down the giant. And so God doesn't need all of those to take down any strongholds in your life. Basically what it's doing is it's giving you the subject, it's giving you the scriptures for that area that you're wanting to gain the victory over. You're reading those again and again, and then all of a sudden it's going to be this scripture here, this one here, and that one there. And then what you're doing is, as you're driving, as you're walking by the way, you're going to be speaking those words, and just declaring those. And it'll be about 3 scriptures, maybe even 1 scripture out of that chapter that will absolutely be your breakthrough for that area. And then you just start speaking that, and you'll find self-deliverance. Well, our deliverance ministry closed up overnight after that. After we put that out, it actually stopped. We stopped having casting out devil services in the Sunday evening. Why? Because either people were getting self-delivered, the word was delivering them. He sent his word and delivered them. And the greatest deliverance that Steph and I have ever had is our own deliverance by speaking our own word over ourselves. And devils and strongholds have just come off myself. Come off, yes, exactly. Just yourself. And in fact, and so self-deliverance is outstanding. And anybody else that would come in, either the people that were coming in for the sensational, they left and they didn't come back because it required them to be responsible. It required them to take responsibility for their own deliverance, and therefore if they did not want to get delivered, well then hey, all the casting out of devils wasn't going to help them. You know, Satan said, you know, Jesus said, you cast a devil out and then 7 worse will come back, because the house is swept and clean but it's not filled, and you need to fill it with the word. And so we said, you put the word in for the 3 months, you fill yourself with the word, so that when I cast that devil out, you're filled and the thing can't come back. And so we're filling ourselves, filling our soul with the word, so then there's no place for Satan left. And so absolutely, you're just taking that and you kind of work out, it's not legalistic that you have to do it for 12 weeks or whatever, and it may be one scripture, two or three, but you'll know there's an inner witness, the Holy Ghost will say, this is the one. And you'll just love it, and then you'll sing it to yourself, you'll walk by the way on your shopping trolley, you'll just be just absolutely just living in that word, and that will be the one that'll take, you know, that'll bring that stronghold down in your mind, and you know, you'll be able to walk free. You know, it's interesting, really, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, like the gifts of healing and the working of miracles, they don't require people's faith or responsibility. They just operate in the church, you know, or they operate from the believer as the Spirit wills. And really, the gifts of the Spirit are for the unsaved who don't have faith. Really, God is expecting the church to take His word and walk in sonship. Healing is great, but health is better. You know, in all reality, I'm walking in divine health, which means I'm not getting sick and getting healed. I should come to a place where I'm walking in divine health and I'm not going down. And so the word will do that. You put the word in and it will take you to a place where you're walking in divine health. And so you're not, same with prosperity. God shouldn't be having to perform miracles to get us out of debt. I mean, He will do in the beginning stages, but as you're preaching prosperity to yourself and you're declaring prosperity to yourself, God will increase you more and more. He will let you, you know, He will take you into that place where you're just walking an abundant life. Your needs are met, your bills are paid. There's nothing lost, nothing broken, nothing missing, which is shalom. An abundant life. Thieves come to kill, steal, and destroy. So anything in your life that is killing, stealing, and destroying your finances, your body, is from Satan. But Jesus has come that we might have life and life to the full. And so you're just speaking that over yourself. So does that help to answer that question?
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Can you speak that over other people?
Yes. Over your children, definitely. Yes, absolutely. And you can absolutely speak that out over. And even things like, I mean, like there was another question there, how are you speaking over your children? I use the scripture that Paul, the apostle, prayed for the church. Father, I cease not to pray for them that the eyes of their understanding are enlightened. Their eyes of their understanding are enlightened. They know the hope of their calling. They know their calling. They know the riches of your glorious inheritance. They know the exceeding greatness of your power, which is towards them who believe, which is according to your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ and raised him from the dead and seated him in your own right hand, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named. So that's a scripture. He prayed that continually for the church. And so praying that for the church, for your small groups, for your pastors, for your children, Father, open their eyes. Because when people's eyes are open, they get revelation. They're not going to make a decision to walk in bondage. And so for your husbands, ladies, we're not preaching to them. We're just saying, Father, I thank you that his eyes are open and he can see. So instead of, and so I put that in the present tense. Ephesians 1:16, and then at Colossians he speaks another one very similar, Colossians 1, and so the short of it is, I would just say, Father, I thank you that their eyes are open and they can see. Their eyes are open and they can see. And so just declaring their eyes, their spiritual eyes are open, they can see the hope of your calling. They know the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints. They know the exceeding greatness of your power. What power is that like? That power is according to the exceeding greatness of your power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead. It took more power for the Holy Ghost to raise Jesus from the dead than it did for God to create the world. Because when he created the world, there was no opposition. When he rose Jesus Christ from the dead, the exceeding greatness of your power, which is towards us who believe, which is according to his mighty power, which he used when he raised Christ from the dead. So you're talking resurrection power. The power that raised Jesus Christ out of the pit, that's the power that belongs to us. And so if that power is ours now, there's nothing, there's no devil that can stop us. We have the resurrection power and we have the life. And we're just speaking that over our body. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he dwells in me. and he shall make alive my mortal body by his spirit who dwells in me. Sickness can't stand in that. Cancer can't stand in that. Jesus has been given a name that's above every name. Cancer is a name. And the name of Jesus is above that name. It's above that name. Yes.
I'm declaring,
thank you, Father God, that we have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I actually make it in the now and say, Father, I thank you that I have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. The eyes of my understanding are open, that I know the hope of your calling. And so I'm putting that in the now. Paul was talking to the Ephesian church and he was saying, I am praying this for you. And so he was telling them what he was doing, but we're putting that in the now, because now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so you're putting it in now. As I sort of said, if it's not now, it's not faith, it's hope, which puts it into future. Whereas,
what about the ones who haven't?
I still pray, because what did God do? It says that God calls the things that are not as though they are. Okay, so Abraham didn't have children, but he called him father of many nations. I have made you. He said, you are the father of many. I have made you the father of many nations. I have, past tense. And so he has prospered me. I'm prosperous now. He has healed me. By his stripes you were healed. So as far as God is concerned, in the mind of God, that happened 2,000 years ago. In fact, before the foundations of the world, Christ died for us. So in their mind and the purposes of God, salvation was already a done deal before the creation of the world. And so that's where you're getting it, either in the past it's been done or it's now. So you're toggling between that, and that's why you're looking at how you're speaking. And it's interesting, when we're talking about an intercession, when people are picking up words of knowledge, and when I'm training our prayer ladies or our prayer people, and I say, look, you're picking up things that are happening in the spirit realm. You're not to pray those things. It's a word of knowledge. God has given you a word of knowledge. And then you take that word of knowledge and you interpret that and declare the answer. Rather than telling God the story, oh, Father God, you know that they're backslidden and they're doing this here and the marriage is a problem. Oh, Father God, we can feel that problem. God, we can feel it. No, I'm feeling all that. I'm seeing all that in the spirit realm. And I just declare, Father God, I just thank you right now. We declare righteousness over that marriage. We declare, Lord God, that Father God, that their covenant, Lord, shall not be broken. We declare, Lord, that they're strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. Sometimes people, when they're praying, they want to kind of let everyone know what's happening in their prayer, but they're not decreeing anything. They're decreeing what is, rather than taking, oh, this is what I'm sensing, okay, I'm going to declare salvation. You notice when God spoke, his words were few, light be. He didn't complicate it. And again, New Testament, yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else is that, you'll get yourself out of faith because you'll talk too much. And so when we're declaring over our city, all we're declaring as a church, salvation over our city. Salvation. Let the word salvation do the work. The light did the work. God said light and it did everything it needed to do. And so let the word discern what it needs to do and make it, you know, do the, you know, the behind the scenes stuff. And so let your words be few, but let them be powerful. And then you don't get yourself out of faith.